You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Luke today, chapter 24, verses 21 through 27. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which was said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right. Well, we've got lots of little birds chirping around our place these days, and little swallows and things flying around. And if you come too close to the nest, you get bombed. And I just ignore them because I don't believe they're going to ever touch my head. But they do get close. They get real close. And this morning, Reuben was outside, and there was a little baby that had fallen out of the nest. So he grabbed it and managed to put it back up in the nest. But when he was doing that, the birds dive-bombed him and thought he was attacking the babies. So all sorts of life coming up around the place. Very pretty, very nice time of the year, but getting hot. Oklahoma hot. We've got people on one side, got a pool, and on another side of the road, got a nice pool. And during the day and in the evenings, quite often, you see them lounging out on the pool, having a good old time. And we're thinking about, wow, that would be a nice thing to have. Let's have a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank thee for this time, Lord, that we could meet together, Lord, and open the scriptures. And we think back to the tremendous events of history and time past. We think of the example of fathers, Lord, and men who have hazarded their lives for the truth of the scriptures and who have given us good examples for the family and for those of the nation. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless us as we seek to serve thee in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we had embarked on this great study. We're up to number 11. There's a lot of things that I've opened which have not been brought to their completion. And I'm working on them. So during the week, I try to open up the scriptures and get into them. Even though I'm very busy during the day with my teaching now, I've got a morning class and I've got an afternoon class. And I've got technically only about 20 minutes between class, which is time supposedly for me to down a sandwich and drink something. But what happens is because I've got these two classes, I arranged that both classes would meet in the same room so that they come to the same room. So one class goes out, and as I'm going to open up my sandwich to eat it, the others are coming in, and so they've got questions. So I'm sort of trying to answer questions and do other things. So it's busy. I'm not really complaining. It's a lot of fun teaching these kids. And, of course, the pressure is on them because they've only got 4 weeks. 4 weeks for a full semester courses. Not much time. So we have been looking at the tools that are needed for our study, and it gets very big. It's, there's things to do with the Babylonian Chronicles, which have been found, and we can translate these things using our knowledge of the cuneiform script, and in the London Museum, the British Museum, right there in London, they've got a room in there which is just packed with these things which have not been translated. So they are trying to encourage as many people as possible to learn the language and then to translate these things. So there's a lot of things still to be translated. And of course, Josephus, writing the Antiquities of the Jews, but he came much later on. But nonetheless, worthwhile to read. And of course, the main source of our understanding of history as it relates to biblical things will be from the Bible. And that is also a big task. You say, well, it's right in front of you. Yeah, I know, it's right in front of me. But actually, to tie all these things together is quite a lot of work. And so I'm embarking on this, and it's great study. And, you know, this cuneiform script is really interesting. There was a neat little thing on YouTube where one of the curators at the British Museum was discussing about how this all works. And he got some people and said, okay, now what's your name? And, okay, let's see if we can write this out in cuneiform. And it's syllabic. So Tom, for example, some of these words you can't actually truly form, so you have to choose something else. You know, maybe you can't have Tom, but you could have Tim or Tam. You'd have to make a choice, and so it's made up. You'd make the thing up into T and M, T and M, and then they get this soft sort of clay, and then they would get like the end of a lollipop or something, and they push this edge onto the clay and it would form these marks and so on and syllables and make various words. So we've been looking at the divided kingdom, and why do we do this? Because we're kind of trying to understand something about how it came to be that Israel would get into the state of being Lo Ami, not my people, as Hosea says. But when you start to read Hosea, you discover that Hosea is written during the time of the divided kingdom, and he's looking at a time when the northern kingdom is going to be taken off into captivity to Assyria, and that Judah, the southern kingdom here, is actually not specifically discussed as coming under judgment, but it's implied that one day they'll go into judgment and that all of them would one day be brought back again. So there's some very interesting contextual things that need to be discussed about this and brought out. And so, you know, you look at the kings on the one side, the Judean kings there in the green and the ones in red you get here from the northern kingdom. And there's some really nice examples. We're thinking about Father's Day. Josiah was a great king in many ways, and his father Ammon was killed. Last time I was suggesting that one way that people that were young, that were kings, you know, 8 years old and being a king, could surround themselves with family. Well, in his case, Ammon was not such a great dad anyway, but he was gone, so he was killed. But there may have been some extended family that could come around him and give him some help when he's just young, and advisors and so on. And so the whole thing about this is that finally Israel has got the axe come down on it, but it doesn't just suddenly come down on it. There are various besiegings that go on. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar comes down through his captain of the guard and comes down and besieges the city and then takes off captives, goes away, and then later on there's another besieging. And this repeats. The question is, how many times did it repeat? And what was the nature of the people that went off into captivity? Who went off into captivity? Well, we know that Ezekiel went off into captivity. And Ezekiel went off into captivity prior to the temple being destroyed. He went off and he discusses this. And similarly with Daniel. Now, when you go to Jeremiah, Jeremiah just also talks a lot about the final time when Nebuchadnezzar comes in. Just look at this with me in Jeremiah 52. This is Jeremiah 52 in verse 1. He says this: Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. So this is chapter 52 of Jeremiah, verse 1. When he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So he rebels against the king. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built, look at this, built forts against it round about. We discussed a little bit about this forts business, how that they would build these big mounds and be able to look over these mounds and shoot across the walls. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. It's besieged. And this would be a terrible thing, you know, to be living in a city that was besieged, truly besieged, so that food could not get in. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. No bread. Food's getting really short. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. So there was an escape route that these people took out of the city. And you notice it says in parenthesis, now the Chaldeans were by the city round about. And they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Now look at this. This is where it gets really sad. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah. Okay, so he took his sons. And notice the emphasis on the word eyes. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. This event is the last thing that Zedekiah would see with his eyes. He would see his sons being killed. Slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Verse 11, then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah. Now these people were rough people, man. They believed in the reign of terror. If you want to rule and stop other nations from coming up against you, what you've got to do is you've got to be ruthless so that no one's going to mess with you. Why? Well, if you try and resist, this is what's going to happen to you. Right? Fear, right? Fear is what will make people do all sorts of things, include bow down to some foreign god or some foreign king. Fear will do it. When you look back at America, you could see an option, right? And there would be fear there. Let's not kid ourselves. When the fight for independence from Britain occurred, there would be the fear of the king. And they were pretty mean individuals too, many of those English people, when they came in. Actually, this was brought up pretty well in a movie about Patriot, if you've seen that movie. It's brought up there, right? There's some of the stuff that went down. But people, nonetheless, stood by their stuff and said, no, we're going to fight. And it says, and then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison to the day of his death. Oh, man. What a miserable existence. A terrible memory to have. And then finally to die there. Now, what you've got here in the rest of this, look at verse 12. Now, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and burned the house of the Lord. Here it is. And the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with captain of the guard brake down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for the vine dressers and for her husbandmen. And talks about what he did with a lot of the bases and brazen sea that was found in the temple, okay, taking those things off, etc. Now, if you go across to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, Daniel chapter 9, it says this in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, so Daniel's one of the captives. He was taken off in one of the captivities that were taken off to Babylon. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So this is the great connection with Jeremiah, the captivity, and all the events that took place when Israel went into the state which we commonly call Lo-Ami. Now, it was progressive. Now, I haven't taught all the lessons about this, but one of the things that you have to realize about this is that it was a progressive movement. There's no arguing about that. It's very clear that it was progressive. And in fact, even with the dividing of the kingdom, there is prophecies of the fact that there would be a time of Lo-Ami. Even when there was a divided kingdom under Hosea, you can see that he prophesied this to occur. Okay, now, we've been discussing this idea of Acts 28. The common thought about Acts 28, which I had held to, was that Acts 28, that's where Israel became Lo-Ami. And I'm investigating this, and I'm putting the magnifying glass to it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's good to do that. It's good for us to examine what we believe and understand. Because these form part of our systematic. That when we hear someone say something, we say, no, I don't think that's right. Or, yeah, I think that's right. And we do that because we've already got a system of and structure of systematic in our minds. We have certain beliefs. Okay, so we've been discussing this, and I won't go through all this again, but let's come back to the point that I was talking about. Here's the picture. The very complicated picture that I've now got in front of you, which is now probably going to work against us because of all the complexity that's in there. So what we'll end up doing is we'll take a portion of this and just concentrate on it. But the gray section here is the one that I really just want to look at. And so you've got, there were servants sent, and they sent this message out to those who were called. There were certain people called, and that's the nation of Israel. And they would not come. They just wouldn't come. That's their response to the first proclamation. No, they wouldn't come. Then there was a second one, and it says, Pelon, again, he sent others, Alos. He sent others. And these were servants. And the result of that is they made light of it. They made light of it. And at the conclusion of this is that their city was burnt. But the trouble with this is, well, when was the city burnt? See, I put it over here, and burned up their city. And burned up their city. There is burnt up the city of them, their city, and burnt up their city. And now, when did that occur? Well, you see, I've got question mark there, because, you know, this is simply a secular date that's come to me. I don't really have a solid way of being certain about this date, but it's a date which is absolutely everywhere. If you look at this up in virtually any textbook on this, it's AD 70. So AD 70 is how man has come up with the date for this event. So if that is the case, if the second sending ends with AD 70, the burning of the city, I feel that I've got some justification for putting it here, right? It's here. And then goes out this ministry to the highways. Right? That's according to Matthew 22. So that's why I put it there. Now, what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to understand, well, how does Acts 28 fit into this? And so far, what I see is this. Acts 28 fits in this just like we see with the captivity, the movements of people taken captivity. Remember, the Loami thing comes in stages, and it concludes with what? The burning of the city. Here it is, right? We read that in Jeremiah. Right? The burning of the city. That's when the temple is burned up and all the bits and pieces of the temple are taken off. That's what's happened in the past. And I'm using what's happened in the past as a picture of the sort of things that will happen in the future. And of course, what's in the future, of course, to us is now in the past. Okay, so there it is. That's why I've put it there. All right. So Acts 28 then would be seen in the light of what I'm giving you as one of the very big movements. And you say, but it's massive. Acts 28 is massive. Yes, it is massive. It's massive, isn't it? That Ezekiel and Daniel and all these people are taken off to captivity. It's not a small thing that Jerusalem is besieged and is seen to be under the judgment of God. Obviously and clearly it's a picture of the judgment of God. Now, I want you to see something here which I think is kind of interesting. This is in Acts chapter number 1. So, I'm trying to understand this. I'm trying to understand this whole Acts 28 and what does it mean? Because it's definitely significant. No one's going to argue against Acts 28 and say that it's not a significant thing that happened. It's right at the end of the book of Acts. It's the movement of the book of Acts. It happened there. The last pages of the book of Acts concludes with Paul put into a Roman imprisonment where the leaders of the Jews come in and there is this all-day conference there. It's huge. It's a very big thing. Now, in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 1, it says this. Luke is significant. Was Luke a Gentile? Many people believe he was a Gentile. I don't think he is necessarily a Gentile. But I can show you why there's some evidence that he could have been a Gentile. I personally believe there's more evidence against that than for it. But we'll discuss that another time. I can show you about this. I've been studying it. And verse 1 says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And you notice, he just uses the Lord's first name. All that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost have given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. You see all this language? The apostles which he had chosen. The apostles. Apostele, you see, that comes from the word apostello. He sent servants. That is, they are apostles. And it says here, verse 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Important. It starts with the kingdom of God, and the book of Acts ends with the kingdom of God. That to me is kind of interesting, don't you think? That's an interesting fact. It begins with this, and it ends with it. And the context here is Israel and her promises. There's no doubt about this. So in verse 3, where it talks about the kingdom of God, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If we want to expand on that, if we want to understand more about that, because this is a summative statement here, he's really just connecting up with the Gospel of Luke. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. What is the former treatise, I would ask? And I would answer, Luke. Right? So now we go back to Luke to see whether we can expand on this thing. So we go to Luke 24, which is the last chapter. Okay, cool. So we are looking here at Acts, and in the Acts it runs its course to 28:31, and in verse 31 it talks about there the kingdom of God, and Acts over here he talks about the whole message concerning things pertaining to how the Lord expressed teachings about the kingdom of God once he had been resurrected. So over here you have kingdom of God. You got this nice chunk of explanation of what the apostles did pertaining to the kingdom of God. And what we're going to do now is we're going to read Luke 24, which connects in here. Okay, so let's go to that Luke 24, verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So he's risen. He's gone. Beautiful thing. But, you know, in the context, what would the believers then make of this? How do they react to the idea that the Lord's body is gone? And what you find are various stages of unbelief. So that if you come down to, say, verse 11, this is after Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the Mary mother of James and other women had told the apostles. And it says in verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Not a whole lot of belief there about what the women had reported concerning the body of Jesus. Not a huge amount. Verse 12, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Wondering, again, not an indication of belief. What on earth is going on here? Okay. It takes a little while for these people to get up to speed. And then in verse 13, you've got, I don't know whether you can see in your Bible, my Bible, it has a paragraph mark there. Do you get it in verse 13? You get in verse 13 here, this, a little paragraph mark there. Maybe not. It's not a part of the inspired scriptures, but nonetheless, some of these paragraph marks are good pointers for us. And beheld, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they're talking. What's going on here? Big discussion. Now in verse 15 it says, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reasons, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, now comes in amongst them. Now, verse 16 says something. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Holden. And he said unto them, now, eyes, ears, heart, we're interested. Act 28. We saw this in Ezekiel 12, right? There's very interesting pointers for us. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So they're sad. And then what happens is a guy called Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger? This he's speaking to the Lord, right? are you a stranger? You don't know what's going down here. Now, where are you from? And verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And it says concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And we notice that the concerning Jesus of Nazareth is actually contextually found in Acts 28. You find the same kind of phrase occurring, concerning Jesus. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Now look at this. So you've got to ask yourself, is this a statement of belief? You know, are they showing great faith? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted. But look what's happened. We trusted. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Isn't that interesting? It's the third day. What's going on with their belief? Verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, which they didn't really take too seriously. You know, they thought these women lost their marbles. Verse 23. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had seen... Also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now verse 25. So the Lord himself is listening to all this. Were they in a state of belief? Obviously not. And to show us clearly what the Lord thinks, he says this, O fools! Oh man, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But wait a minute, this is contextually just like Acts 28. Do you remember how it begins? Just to show you this, see if you can see this is contextually just like what's going on in Acts 28. This is remarkable. Look at this in Acts. Hold your place there because we want to read a little bit more. So in Acts 28, it says this. It says in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. See the concerning Jesus that we just read, Luke 24. Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Hold your place there. So we find that same sort of thing going on here. Notice it says in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And in verse 28, you got kind of an interesting statement. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed and brake it, gave to them. Verse 31. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Bang. So as soon as they came to the realization of who this person was that opened the scriptures, what happened? bang, he goes. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished. Eyes open, knew him, vanish. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now this verb, open, comes up a number of places. So right here in verse 31, it says their eyes were opened. Right? Their eyes were opened. In verse 32, open to us the scriptures. Eyes opened, scriptures opened. And if you go across down to verse 45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Notice that. Look at the openings that's going on here. What you have in this context, though, is interesting to me. It's very much like Acts 28. But the difference is they go from unbelief, very evident unbelief, to belief. They go from very little understanding to full understanding. The scriptures have not been opened, then they're opened. That's the movement I can see. I don't think I'm fudging this. It seemed to be a very clear movement. But this seems to be parallels with Acts 28. But when we go to Acts 28, let's see the differences. So in Acts 28, when you look at this, what's going on in Acts 28? Well, there's certainly a teaching here. Is there evidence of some opening? Is there some opening that's going on? Well, in verse 24, Acts 28:24, it says, and some believed the things which were spoken. Well, for those that believed, there was an opening, wasn't there? There was some opening here. And some believed not. So it's partial. It's not complete. It's not a complete opening. That's my point to you. So therefore, if there's not a complete opening, what would, if you wanted to continue the context, what would you want to see? Wouldn't you want to see a continuation of ministry to these people so that there would be a final opening? Well, where does this occur? Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So the ministry continues. You get the point I'm trying to get at here, to continue the parallel? Okay. Does this conform to what I'm showing you here? Yeah, it does. But if we say that Israel became Lo-Ami here, then what do we've got a little bit of a problem with the continuation of this ministry, which quite evidently took place. And secondly, we've got evidence that there was another imprisonment for at least one more, which gives time for the mystery to be revealed to Paul. And then when Paul says, for this cause I, in Ephesians, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner, no, we don't look at this imprisonment here. We look at a later imprisonment. From a later imprisonment, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Right? Later on that occurs. Okay. Well, I think it's interesting. I don't know about you. I'm finding this kind of interesting. It's opening up some interesting avenues. Now, let me speak frankly about this. This is a worry to some people because they think that, Wayne, you are destroying Acts 28. No, I'm not destroying Acts 28. Acts 28:28 is a significant passage because it says there that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. My question to you is, what part of the phase of the salvation of God going to the Gentiles is this? And when was the mystery revealed? Those are my questions. And when you start asking these questions, then you've got to look a bit deeper. You've got to go deeper with this. Okay, cool. So, what have I got to do? I'm afraid, friends, I got a big job ahead of me. I got myself a job, man. It's got so many facets to it, it's going to take me a while to get through it. Right? And what I've done is I've decided A long time ago, I said that I would master Greek. And I pretty well, I'm not saying I mastered it, but I got a long way in Greek. And then I said, once I did that, I was going to get into Hebrew and do the same for Hebrew, which I never did. I never did that. So I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. I started on it a year ago, and I got a little bit way into it. And I thought, this is getting a little bit frustrating. I'm going so far, I'm not going any further. And I looked around, and I found a beautifully made Hebrew workbook by a guy called Fully Love. Can you imagine that? What a name that is. Anyway, he's made this thing, and it's fantastic. So I'm going to work myself through. It's got about, I don't know, over 30 lessons in it. I'm going to get myself through Hebrew in order that I can get into the detail of a lot of the Old Testament and understand more about this business that we are looking at. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, for all that Thou hast shown us. We pray, Lord, that You would guide this fellowship, those that are online, Lord, that are taking these lessons and looking into things more deeply. We pray, Lord, that You'd help them and guide them. Those that do not know the Savior, Lord, we pray Your Spirit would work in their lives, that they would see that it's futile to trust in Your own works and trust in Your own self, but Lord, there's only one way, and that's through the finished work of Christ on the cross at Calvary. We pray all these things in His name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.